Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I don't know if I have to introduce me myself, or you remember that I already did that. Just in case, okay, as you see in your bulletins, my name is Matthias. I know that you today will pay a lot of attention because I have a really strong accent, okay? That's because I'm from Argentina. Okay, you remember where the Pope is. So if you pay attention today, you one day may listen to the Pope and understand what he's saying. When I did the invocation today, I thanked the Lord for this morning. As we have the snow today and the picture that we have outside is totally different than every day, right? So praise the Lord for that, because his mercies are new each day. And today we can see the snow, right? I would like to see, yes, I need a change. In your bulletins you have that the title of this sermon is I Want a Change, right? So I decided to change it a little bit, because sometimes we want a change, and sometimes we need a change, we feel that we need it, and sometimes we really don't realize that we need a change. Before we start with our theme this morning, I would like to know if you, how many of you read the newspaper here in Colorado? Just a few of you. Well, again, can I see the hands? Okay. Have you noticed this child of 8 years old that he turned in money that he found? Did you read about that? Do you know where he's from? He's from Fort Collins. So for those that doesn't know the story, there's an 8-year-old child called Bridger, I think, that he found money. He found a lot of money. The news don't say how much it is, but they say that it was a large amount of money. And he called the police, and he asked the policeman that answered the phone if someone was asking for money that the person may have lost. So the policeman said, yes, someone called about 2 hours ago asking for a certain amount of money. So the child went to the police station and turned in the money. So the newspapers, the Coloradoan, they decided to make an interview, to do an interview to this child. And he was answering, he was saying, well, it was not my place to keep this money, as I didn't earn this money. It wasn't meant to be for me. And all that, and I was staring at the video as I was listening, because he was so adult in his answers, you know. So I wonder why the newspaper put this as an example of something good. Why do you think it's so? I want to let you know, I'm not scared of silent, so I can be here waiting for you to answer. Okay. So that is something that I usually do. So why do you think that the newspaper may have done this interview to this child as an example of something good? Why? Right. Probably someone from the church may have found that money too. Yes. Probably that person kept this money. If he found it, well, you know, at the end of the interview, Jody, I will ask you to pass to the next slide. Yeah, let's pass this one. There. That's the picture of the kid. Okay? He's not blind. He's with his eyes closed. The other picture will show his face nicer. Okay? That's Richard. At the end of the interview, Richard said, well, oh, and this is something, this is a rule that happens when you turn in the money. If nobody claims that money, then that money would have gone to him. Okay? So the reporter asked him, what would he have done with the money if he kept it? Well, he said, I would give this money to a church or something like community service, food bank, or to a food bank, because this wasn't meant to be for me. And I was looking at him, and then he ends his speech saying, God is so good with us. And then I knew he was a Christian. He was a Christian. So the problem is, these things that you said, probably other people wouldn't have turned in the money. Probably someone found it and they have kept this money. This is an example of something that we need to change in our lives. Okay? Now, let's go to the next slide. And I want to show you some things that I found on the internet, okay, that talks about change. For example, this is a quote, okay, from Coco Chanel that says, a woman who cuts her hair is about to change her life. Is that true? Yeah. Yes? My wife says so. Okay, let's go to the next one. Mentally exhausted, I need a change in my life. Who can relate to that? Oh, quite a few. Even a child. Okay. Regarding the other one, I can tell that a lot of people, especially at the end of the year, relates to that. I'm mentally exhausted because of work, because of family. If you are hosting the rest of your family at home, you know what that you have to cook, and especially women, they spend all day in the kitchen for a dinner that will last 1 hour and a half, 2 hours. And that's exhausting, okay? So, mentally exhausted, I need a change in my life. Let's go to the next one. It's time for a change. People, they want to change. And now, I want to show you the next one, okay? And people say, I need a change. They don't know how. They have no idea what about, but they need a change. They feel it, okay? Now, this one is a little bit funny, okay? But this is how a lot of people react, okay? What's Snoopy saying? He says, well, my life is boring now. I need a change in my life. And what does he do? He switches sides, okay? Now, I can tell you, I do that in my life too. Sometimes when I'm in my office and I said, something is quite out of place, and I have my stuff in the same place forever, right? So I start changing things. And when people come in, they look, what did you do? Well, I took this off. And so this is a way that we cope with our need of change. We probably switch sides, okay, in whatever we do. We probably switch sides on a table, okay? Probably switch sides. Probably we start looking at our computers, our phones. We start changing things. We can change pictures at our home, okay? We may have changes in our lives. But I want to show you the next slide, which is my favorite one. When we understand that the change in our lives starts with our need of Jesus. Okay? So this is something that we need to understand. We need a change for what? And this is when we need to understand that we need Jesus. Let's go to the next slide and let's start using our Bibles. Let's go to Joshua. That's a hard word for me, so you will have to understand that we are going to use this book all the sermon alone. So, Joshua, is that better? Chapter 2. And we're going to start the story of the people of Israel, okay? While they start spying on Jericho. Now, let me tell you, we are not going to talk about Rahab this morning. It's a thing that is not easy when you are studying this chapter, okay? Because if you open this chapter, the whole story is about what Rahab did. Of course, we are going to talk about that topic, but this sermon is not about Rahab. This sermon is about the people that is going to Jericho to spy. Why? Because this morning we are going to be in the place of those people. Okay, those two spies that went to Jericho. So I would like for someone to read verses 1-5. Okay, who wants to read that aloud? Yes, chapter 2, 1-5. Okay, let's stop there. So what's going on here? Two men were sent to Jericho to spy the city, right? That's easy to understand. Now, was it because Joshua wanted that, or why? Why did they go there? Excuse me? To spy. Now, was it just because Joshua wanted them to spy, or was it something else? If you start with chapter 1, okay, you'll see that Moses passed away, so Joshua was taking the leadership. God told him 3 times, don't be fearful, don't dismay, I will go with you. Just be certain of keeping all the commandments I give you. So what we are seeing here, okay, is that God is preparing the way. So if you understand that you need a change in your life, that you need Jesus in your life, you need to be prepared to move according to what God wants you to do. Now, on verse 1, as we heard, okay, they went to Jericho and they went to Rahab's home. As I said, we are not going to talk about the topic of Rahab a lot, okay, but we need to see what the spies saw, okay, at this moment. So, first point that we have on the screen God was already moving. Okay, how do we understand that he was moving? Let's continue reading, okay, from 6 to 11. And I will ask you to read again as you are at the back and you have a really strong voice, okay? Amen. Thank you. So what you notice here, okay, especially in verse 10 and 11, what is Rahab saying? We have what? We have heard, okay? So what the spies saw is that God was already moving. God was already preparing the way, right? So now I want to show you on the next slide, okay, I want to show you about Jericho, the map, okay? So you see that red spot in the middle? I thought that we were going to see it much bigger, but that's fine. That red spot in the middle, that's Jericho. Now, if you move to your right, okay, you will see a blue line, that's the Jordan River. And if you cross the river, now you would have a camp of Israelites. Okay, camping there. So Jericho is not more than 15 miles, I would say, from the Jordan River. But for this map, we could say that it was about 5 miles. And Jericho was a city in a mountain. Okay, so we have heard, okay, news, especially bad news, they fly away. Okay, everywhere, and they arrive fast everywhere. So what Rahab was saying is, we heard what happened in another kingdom, and what happened with their hearts? They melted, right? There are another versions that says that their hearts were fearful, that they were discouraged. So that's the melting part of the heart. It wasn't a conversion, but it was for Rahab. Because at the end of verse 11, she's saying, for the Lord your God, he's what? He's God in heaven above and on earth beneath. That was enough for her to believe. Okay, let's listen what the messenger of the Lord said about Jericho. Oh, this is so small. Okay, I'm going to take this. It says, Jericho was a city devoted to the most extravagant idolatry. The inhabitants were very wealthy. All the riches that God had given them, they accredited to the gift of their gods. Gold and silver were in abundance. Like the people before the flood, they were corrupt and blasphemous. They insulted and provoked the God of heaven by their wicked works. God's judgment awakened against Jericho. It was a stronghold. But the captain of the Lord's host came himself from heaven to lead the armies of the heaven in the attack upon the city. So that's the Jericho that we're talking about. That's the city that the Israelites were about to take over. Let's go to the next slide that will show you how we continue seeing what the spies saw. Okay, so we saw that God was already moving. Okay, He was preparing the way. And He was ensuring. Let's read verse 11 again. Okay. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in any because of you. So it was just a confirmation, an assurance, okay, of what was happening. And it was convincing because, as we saw at the last part of verse 11, that was enough for Rahab to believe. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So the other thing that we can share with the spies are found in verses 12 to 14. Who wants to read 12? Yes, 12 to 14.
Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me, the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a token, and spare my father and my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have delivered our lives from death. So the men entered her. Our lives, for your lives, and none of you tell this business of ours, and it will be men the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you.
For this, I want to make an example, okay? I want to make an example because we can see in the slide, okay, that their faith were increasing, okay? So in the first part, we see that God is already moving, but now that movement from God, okay, from God's part, is now increasing their faith. Why? Why do you think that it may increase their faith? I would like to have two volunteers, one a man and one a woman. Who volunteers? Okay, Sarah, that's fine. Come here. She doesn't have the age to drive, but she will drive today, okay? So Sarah can stay here. Okay, who else? Okay, Matthias. Matt. Okay. These two are drivers, okay? Come here. Okay. You can come, yes. Yes. You don't want to? Okay, so Sarah will be here, okay, looking towards the piano. And Matthias, right? Matthias, come here. You will be behind me. Okay? So we're going to drive here, okay? Position of driving? Okay? Position of driving? Come on, Matthias. Okay. Okay. And we're going to walk, okay? Let's go into walk. Slow. Now, Sarah starts doing her eyelashes while she drives. Have you seen that? Oh, I've seen it everywhere here. So, with one hand you're going to drive, and with the other one, you're going to do your eyelashes. So, do like this, okay? So what's going on while she drives? Okay, kids, thank you. We're okay. You can go to see. What happens if she starts doing her eyelashes? Yeah, she's distracted, right? What happened with Matthias and with me? We can crash, okay? We are slower. just because she's slower, okay? She's driving slower. I'm behind her. I can see her mirror. I'm driving nuts, okay? That would be me, real Matias, okay? That I would be driving nuts because of what she's doing, okay? What would happen to Matias? He's just behind me. He wouldn't understand what's going on, okay? He would just keep driving and probably making lights, okay, because he's just behind me. He doesn't see what's going on in front of me, okay? This is just an example of this. Why our faith needs to be increased. Okay, so these verses, okay, and this example that I did, that probably you said, what does it have to do with the faith? How do we act, okay? If I don't have the responsibility enough to drive my car without doing my eyelashes, of course, men, we don't do our eyelashes, I hope not, right? But if I'm not grown enough to understand that I can kill myself and kill others, okay? If I don't grow in that area, then others will be affected for what I do. Okay? Is that understood? So what we see here, okay, is that we need to grow in that area when God is calling us to move with him. Because he first is moving in front of us. He's preparing the way for us to do what he's calling us to do. Okay? But then as we do what he's asking us to do, then we start growing. A couple days ago, a month ago probably, I'm talking about this because this happened here in Colorado, in Loveland, I was driving with my wife, and suddenly I saw in my mirror that the car that was behind me, okay, in Loveland there's a little bridge, okay, that is close to a park, and you have the exit right before the bridge. So there's one way, the exit, and this part is a little bit wider because of the exit. So the first thing I saw is that this car wanted to pass another one on the right. Then I see that the one that was behind me, he was stopping, and the other car makes this movement. And this is what I saw on my mirror. By that moment, I overspeed because I didn't want this car to crash mine. And we were, you know, with fear of what was going on. Then we went towards the light. We stopped. The car that first was behind me also stopped next to us. They were going to do another turn. And I asked them, what was that? What happened? And it was also another couple. They said, we don't know. That lady was just crazy. When we saw to our right, we see this car not overspeeding, just passing a little bit on the right, and she was on the phone. It was a teenager, right? She was on the phone. I hope that what happened gave her a lesson to grow up on that, but that's not my sermon about. As she grows on that, we need to grow on our way, on our Christian way. We need to grow in our faith, okay? And this is what these verses are about, 12 to 14, as we listen. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness. This is the part where we walk, where God called us to walk, and we need to show kindness to others. This is people trying to anticipate what we have to do, that we have to show kindness. To my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And what's the answer? Verse 14. Right. Our lives for yours. I remember listening Pastor Doug Batchelor about this verse, and he said that this is salvation. The life of one for another. And that's the last part. The assurance growth. We need to assure that what we are doing, okay, is the correct thing. Is what God asked us to do. Now, let's continue with this, with the third part, what the spies saw, okay? And we're going to see the next slide, yes, how others' faith influenced. And this is the part where we talk about Rahab, okay? Because the spies are witnessing God's work, and in the process, not only in their own faith increasing, but others are choosing to believe and trust the God of Israel, right? As you see at the bottom part of the slide, Rahab is clearly impacted by what is happening and has been changed. Her life changed. Let me tell you something. You might have listened, I'm going to take this again. I don't like to be all the day behind that. Rahab, okay, when she was in Jericho, she had a name. And some, if you look that in a Bible dictionary or if you look that in a Bible commentary, you will find, I'm not talking about the Seventh-day Adventist commentary, okay? I'm talking about all kinds of commentaries. A lot of people, a lot of Jewish scholars, a lot of Protestant scholars, they say that this is a bad translation, that probably she was just an innkeeper. The translation, okay, when they translated the Pentateuch into the Greek, okay, they never, there's no meaning, other meaning for that word, okay, for harlot. There's no another meaning. It's not a housekeeper. Her reputation was that because she was working, or probably she worked at the time with that. So what's the problem here? Why is Rahab so important? Because she's in the gallery of faith. If you look at Hebrews, you will find that her faith made her move. She had to decide between her city and her life, and she made a choice. So this is what happens with Rahab. Let's go and read verses 15 and on. Who wants to read 15 to 21? Yes, June.
Then she let down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. She said to them, "Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way." So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind the line of the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all of your father's household to our own home, your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. Then she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away. They departed, and she bound the scarlet cord.
When James talks about Rahab, he says that Rahab not only had faith by believing, but her works also shown her faith. Because we know that faith, what? Without? Yes. Faith without works is dead. So we see what Rahab did. As soon as they left, what did she do? She put the cord, right? She put the scarlet cord on her window. Now, what we have here, okay, on the screen says, our faith in following God's will, in following God will reveal where he's already working. And where God is working, there are others whom we can influence. Do you believe that? Okay, so the third part says some of these will choose to follow God. What are we doing to show others that God is already working? Let's go to the next slide, and that's the final slide. I'm sorry, it's not the final. There's another one. But hearts completely converted, okay? So we saw that God is working ahead, that as we answer God's call, our faith is increased, okay? Others will be influenced, and now we have this heart completely converted from the spies. We're not talking about Rahab. We're not talking about Jericho. We're talking about the spies. Who can read those two, three verses, 22 to 24?
I'll do it.
Okay.
They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way but did not find them. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over. They came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us.
Thank you. You remember when the 12 spies were sent to spy Canaan? What happened? Was this kind of report brought to Moses? No. Only two, right? But these two, what they are saying, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So this is what happens when we answer the Lord's call. There is something that it's here, okay, that talks about the book of Joshua. This book is special because the same name of the book in Hebrew, okay, is very related to the Greek name of Jesus, okay? Both of them mean salvation or God's save. So, and if you go through the book of Joshua, you will find that everything is about going to our new home and how people is saved or not by their own decisions. The story of Israel is not just the story of Israel, it's the story of God's people, okay, moving according to what God told them or not. But in that time, that was God's people, Israel. Today is our story. We are God's people. And we may answer or not his call. In Exodus 16:20, okay, that's the last verse for today. Exodus 16:20 says, talks about when these people were in the desert. Who wants to read that one?
But they did not listen to Moses. Some left a part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them.
What is it talking about? Manna. Manna teaches three things. That only God could have done that. Okay, because that was in the middle of the desert and there were a lot of Israelites living there. It teaches daily dependence on God because they could not grab more of what they have to, because otherwise the worms and the smell would have appeared constantly. And for us, it's very significant because also teaches about the Sabbath as a holy and a special day. But let me tell you something, and this is about the second point, our daily dependence on God. When you need a change, when you are sure that you need a change, when you are sure that you need Jesus, don't just assume that you will be changed one day and that will be enough forever. This is something... This is something of daily lookup. This is something of daily dependence on God. I remember telling to a group of teenagers, it was in an Adventist academy. We were in the Sabbath school. And all of them were giving their opinions about the Sabbath school lesson. I'm sorry, not all of them. Actually, one or two of 20. And I remember saying, you know what? The Word of God, I ask how many of you are dating? Some of them, they were just, you know, shy enough to raise their hands, or but others, they just raised their hands. And I remember saying, you remember how you started dating? Nowadays, probably text messages, emails, and all that. On that time, a lot of people were still using letters. And probably some of you may remember the letters of your loved one. And some of you probably may have that letter, that first letter. And it usually happens a lot with girls when they have the letter. They read the letter once and again until they memorize word by word of this letter. Am I wrong, or is it that way? Because I see your faces, right? What happened with us that we are not reading this letter? Because this is a letter of love that is left for us. So let's go to the last slide. It's time. It's time for what? It's time for a change. Do you feel you need a change? Do you think you need a change? We saw how the spies saw God working up front. We saw how their faith was growing up. We saw how others were influenced by what they were doing. The same could happen to us. It's time, every day. Every day, if you feel you need that change, every day you can have it. I wonder now, do you think you need that change now? How many of you think that you need a change now? Well, it's time. Why don't we just stand up and start praying? Okay, let's stand up and pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you because you left this love letter for us. Help us, Lord, to understand our daily dependence on you. Help us every day to approach your throne of mercy as the way is open. Lord, thank you because we can see that other people may be influenced by us. Help us, Lord, to give our time so others can understand your love for them. I don't know everyone here in this church, but you know them by name, you know their families, they know their lives. Lord, we need a change every day. We ask you to fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit so we can end our task. We are like spies in this world. Help us, Lord, to go home. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.